We're going to go in our Bibles today to Isaiah chapter 50. We have been walking our way through Isaiah. And I don't want to scare you here. We're going to read the entire 50th chapter of Isaiah, but you can breathe a sigh of relief. It's only 11 verses. But if you're looking on the screen or if you've got a Bible that you're opening, if you will look, Isaiah 50 is going to seem very confusing. And if you dig in and spend some time, you can kind of get some details to where it makes sense. And if you look at verse 1, it talks about a certificate of divorce. And then you look down in verse number 2, it talks about drying up the sea. And you say, my goodness, what does that have to do? And then you look in verse 3, it talks about blackness and darkness. And then verse 4, it talks about the Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught. And you say, what does this have to do? What does A have to do with B? Has to do with C? How does this fit together? And I'm going to touch on each one of these verses today, except one. And I think I'm going to be able to show you what's happening in this chapter, and I think it's going to help you. I really do. Now, in order for this chapter to make any sense, you're going to have to divide it into three sections. Okay? Section number 1 is going to be verses 1, 2, and 3. Section 4 through 9 is a totally different voice speaking about something totally different. And then verses 10 and 11 is that same voice speaking, but changing the subject. And if you understand these sections, it will make sense. If you do not divide it into sections, you will never, ever make heads or tails of this chapter. So let's read. Hear the word of the Lord today. Let's read. Thus says the Lord, where is your mother's certificate of divorce, of which I sent her away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities you were sold, and for your transgressions your mother was sent away. Why, when I came, was there no man? Why, when I called, was there no one to answer? Is my hand shortened that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, by my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a desert. Their fish stink for lack of water and die of thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness and make sackcloth their covering. Verse 4. This is the second section. This is a different voice speaking here. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I might know, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. You say, who's talking here? I think you're going to find out real quick. Morning by morning he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. Verse 6 shows us who's talking here. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. So who was talking in this section right here? Jesus, the Messiah, the Messiah. Isaiah calls him the servant of the Lord, is what Isaiah refers to him as the servant of the Lord, or the Lord's servant. Verse 7, but the Lord helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. That is the only verse that I will not be covering this morning. I will probably touch on it Wednesday night. It would take me too long today, so I'm going to touch on it Wednesday night and in our midweek service. So the Lord helps me. Therefore, I've not been disgraced. Therefore, I've set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. Verse 8, he who vindicates me is near. He will contend with me. Let us stand up together. Who? This is that servant talking. This is Messiah. Who is my adversary? Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Behold, the Lord helps me. Who? This is Messiah talking. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Verse 10. This is the final section. This is still Messiah talking. And this section here is what I call the ominous ending here. Okay? The ominous ending of this chapter. This is my title. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light. Have you ever been there? Walking in darkness. It says, let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Verse 11, this is the ominous ending. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. And I know that's an ominous ending, but I want to, if I can today, preach on Israel's disobedience, Messiah's obedience, and the ominous ending, which we just read in these last two verses. Let's pray. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we ask that you would help us, God. Help us, Lord, today. Lord, in Jesus' name, this is your word, and we do not take it lightly. Open our minds and hearts to know your word, God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated today. So like I said a while ago, in order to make any sense of this chapter, you will, if you were like me, how many here has ever done the bread reading program? Bread. Bible reading enriches every day. And you read through your whole Bible in 1 year. And there's times that I would be reading that. And it's good to read your Bible. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I would read stuff, especially out of the Old Testament like this. And I would read it. And I would not understand anything I had read. And I would read it. And it was good that I read it. But because it would kind of go in one, not in one ear and out the other. I mean, I was storing some of it up. But it was hard for me to hold on to this stuff because I would read it and I would just say, man, and I just don't understand it. And this is one of those chapters. And so let me break this chapter down for you. And I think we're going to find some stuff in here that's going to help us today. These first three verses go together. Verses 1, 2, and 3 go together. Isaiah lived over 100 years before the Babylonian captivity. You remember? And the book of Daniel talks about how Nebuchadnezzar came in, sacked Jerusalem, and basically Jerusalem was under the control of the Babylonian Empire, King Nebuchadnezzar, and he led a bunch of them off into captivity, took them back to Babylon. And Isaiah here is speaking prophetically. Even though he lived over a hundred years before the Babylonian captivities, he is speaking to people that would be in captivity in Babylon that would be feeling sorry for themselves. People that were saying, why am I here? Why did this happen to me? Why are we all here? Why has this befallen us? We don't deserve this. And they were in Babylon, and Isaiah was prophesying from the standpoint that they were feeling forsaken, like that God had just not kept his end of the deal, that God had forsaken them. And so in verse 1, let me explain, and then we'll read. In those days, culture was very different than it is now. And there was a couple of ways that children could become destitute. You know, poverty, struggling for food, struggling for clothing. There was a couple of ways. One of them is if a man just divorced his wife and just left her. Because back in those days, the culture was, it was hard for a woman to get a job. It was hard for a woman to support herself financially. And so if a man divorced his wife and just left his wife, he could leave those children, that wife and children, destitute. And these people over in Babylon, were feeling like, you know, God's left us. God's forsaken us. God doesn't care anymore for us. We're here in Babylon because God forsook us. That's what their feelings was. And what he says is, he says, oh, where is your mother's certificate of divorce? You say I divorced you guys? You say that I'm like a man that divorced his wife and left his kids to starve? Well, why don't you show me that certificate of divorcement? Why don't you show it to me? Show me where I divorced you. Show me where I did that. I didn't leave you. I didn't leave you. And then another way that children could become destitute is if, and this is sad, but in those days, if a man had a debt that he could not pay, Brian, he could take his kids and sell them into slavery to pay the debt. Now, I will admit, not with Megan, but there's with my boys, there's a couple times I would have sold them, and I would have sold them cheap. Okay? I mean, I got frustrated with those boys a couple times. They're good boys, and they're good now, but there's a couple times I would have made somebody a good deal. I'm saying that jokingly. Well, maybe not. But anyway. But that's how he says, you look down further in this verse, he says, of which of my creditors is it to whom I've sold you? In other words, God's saying, so what? You're saying I owed somebody so much money and I couldn't pay my debt, so I had to sell you guys down into Babylon to pay off my debt? I'm God. I don't owe anybody. I don't owe anything. And so in the end of this verse, he says, you want to know why you're down in Babylon? You're not down in Babylon like children of a divorced mother, because I never divorced you guys. And you're not down in Babylon like destitute children that in slavery that got sold into poverty, that got sold into slavery because I couldn't pay a debt. No. Why are you in Babylon? For your iniquities. That's why you're in Babylon, folks. That's why you're down there. You're not down there because I was unfaithful. You're down there because you were unfaithful to me. And that is why you're down there in Babylon. And so that's what he's talking about in verse 1 there. And then in verse 2, he says, when I came, there was no man. Why, when I called, was there no answer? In other words, I wanted to deliver you. But how come when I called there was no answer? He said, is my hand shortened that it cannot redeem? Have I not the power to deliver? And then he reminds them of some Old Testament events that had occurred years earlier. He said, behold, by my rebuke I dry up the sea. When did that happen? That happened in the book of Exodus when he dried up the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14. He made the sea into dry land. And then he said, I make the rivers a desert. Does anybody remember when they were going to step into the promised land? How God divided the Jordan River and they walked across on dry land. That would be in Joshua chapter 4. And he's reminding them, he said, you know, back in Egypt, their fish stunk for a lack of water and died. Does anybody remember the very first plague? What was the very first plague? Water got turned into blood, Sister Kristen. And it says that the fish died, and it said the river stunk. And it uses that exact language, and that is in Exodus chapter 7, verse 21. It says the fish in the Nile died and the Nile stank. And then he says something. He says, I clothe the heavens with blackness and make sackcloth their covering. You say, now, Brother Wiggins, you lost me there. What is that? Well, what was one of the 10 plagues in Egypt? The plague of darkness. Sister Kristen, you're really on your game today here. One of the plagues, if you'll remember in Exodus chapter 10, Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch blackness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. And verse 21, I don't have it here, but verse 21 says it was a darkness that was so dark that it could be felt. And so God is reminding them, hey, he said, is my hand short that it cannot save? Am I too weak that I can't deliver? Look at all the stuff I did for you guys. Look at that stuff. You need to believe. Then in verse number 4, this is section 2, and this is going to all make sense to you. I promise you. Well, I hope. Section number 2 is this faithful servant talking who is this faithful servant? Jesus. This is the Messiah. He says, the Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Well, that word taught means discipled. It means he's given me the tongue of somebody that's been taught, that's been discipled. And if you will look in Luke chapter 2, when Jesus was only, I believe, was it 12 years old or 13 years old? Remember how Joseph and Mary left Jerusalem and were heading back to where they live, and they looked around and Jesus was gone. And then it says in verse 46 and verse 47, after 3 days they found him back in Jerusalem in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. You see how Messiah is talking in Isaiah 50, and you're seeing the fulfillment of it in Luke chapter 2. He's got a tongue that's discipled, a tongue of the taught, a tongue of somebody that understands. And you look at the rest of that verse, it says in Isaiah 50 and 4, it says, morning by morning, he awakens my ears to hear. In other words, not to audibly hear, but to understand. And yes, Jesus Christ was God, but he came to earth as a man. He came to birth and the earth and was born as a baby in Bethlehem. And it says here that, look at this, and to me this just ties in so beautifully. Morning by morning, he awakens my ear to hear. In other words, it's day after day, I understand a little more, a little more, and a little more. Look at Luke chapter 2, verses 51 and 52. It says, Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Morning by morning. Was he God? Yes, he was. And let me tell you something here. I don't want to go off on a rabbit trail. There are some people that get twisted up with these verses, and these verses don't bother me at all. I've heard learned men say, well, Jesus Christ really wasn't God until after his baptism. I've heard other men say, well, he really wasn't truly God until after his resurrection. I'm going to tell you, it is my belief, he was God manifest in the flesh right there in Bethlehem as a baby. He always was God. But the Bible says in Philippians that he emptied himself, that being in the form of God, did not think that equality with God was something to be held on to, but he emptied himself and became a man, became a baby, and grew up and increased in wisdom and in knowledge. And in Isaiah 50, it says that morning by morning, he opens my ear and I understand. Then in verse 6, he says, I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull the beard. Does that sound familiar? This is Messiah talking. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. Matthew records this. Mark records this. Luke records this. John records this. I will just read you, for sake of time, Matthew's rendering. They spit in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, thereby fulfilling Isaiah chapter 50, verse 6, where this Messiah says, I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. Verse number 7 we will cover Wednesday night, but verse number 8, he says, Messiah says, but he who vindicates me is near. He will contend with me. Let us stand together. And he said, who is my adversary? You think I'm just a weak Messiah right now? And yeah, you can spit at me. And you can put a crown of thorn upon my heads. But you really do not know who or what you are messing with. And Psalm chapter 2 says, why do the nations rage and the people plot vains? The king of the earth set themselves and the rulers to take counsel against the Lord and his anointed. That scripture is also in Acts chapter 4. But I want to go to verse 9. He says, behold, the Lord God helps me. And who will? This is Messiah talking. I want you folks to be able to see Jesus in Isaiah. You know, the Old Testament seems so alienated to so many of us from the New Testament. And Jesus told them, those things that you believe and read in the Old Testament, they speak of me. And he says, behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Well, where did that happen? Where did that happen? Messiah says, who will declare me guilty? Bill, if you'll go to that next verse. Let's see here. This would be Matthew 26 and 59 and 60. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might declare him guilty, that they might put him to death. In Isaiah 50, he says, who is going to declare me guilty? Well, it says in Matthew 26, 59, and 60, it says, the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus that they might put him to death. But they found how many? In Isaiah chapter 50 says, who is going to declare me guilty? Who shall declare me guilty? It said, though many false witnesses came forward, none of them could say anything to prove that Jesus was ever guilty of anything, thereby fulfilling Isaiah 50 and 9 when he says, who shall declare me guilty? And then this last section, what I call the ominous ending. He says, this is still Messiah talking. He says, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who talks in darkness, or excuse me, let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've been in some dark places in my life. I've been in some dark places emotionally, but I've also been in some dark places spiritually. I've been in places when I did not know the difference between right and wrong. I did not know the difference between good and evil. And it says, let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord. Who was that light? Well, John chapter 1, we could all quote it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then it says in verse 4, in him was light. In him was light. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness of the light. Verse 8, he was not the light, but came to bear witness of the light. the true light. Isaiah 50, let him who walks in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord. You remember Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. He couldn't talk. His tongue got the silence where he couldn't talk all during the time that Elizabeth was pregnant. And when John was born, his tongue was loosed. And Zechariah, the Bible says that he began to prophesy. And one of the things that Zechariah prophesied about the birth of Jesus, who would have been born 6 months later, says to give a light to those who sit in the darkness, in the shadow of death. And I could go on. There's other verses about Jesus being the light. I just want to say this, and I'm about to bring this in for a close. Who is the light? Yes. The faithful servant was the light in Isaiah 50. And we find that fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Here's my concern. Folks, we are living in a very enlightened age in which the Bible, to many people, has become an archaic, old, antiquated book that really has no bearing on our lives. We're enlightened now. We know better. I don't want to get in any political fight with anybody here. I don't want to get in any fist fights. But I can remember the day when Barack Obama was president and gave a speech in which he stood up and read scriptures out of the Bible and twisted them to try to make the Bible look bad, to try to put the Bible in a bad light, to show that we know so much more now, that we're living in this enlightened age, and that we've got light that we know. We're living in an enlightened age, and we don't need, people today would tell you, we don't need the Bible. We don't need the scripture. They're going to say it's oppressive, misogynistic. But the Bible says in Isaiah 50 and 10, let him who walks in darkness and has no light, don't let him wish for some enlightened age, but let him trust in the name of the Lord. And are you ready for the ominous ending? Let's all stand. The last verse in chapter 50 of Isaiah is verse 11. The previous verse said, let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord. Now, before we read this verse, back in those days, in those ancient Bible days, like right now, if we need light, if I can go over here real quick, right now, you know, if we need light, what do? Voila. Didn't know I knew French, huh? But back in those days, what did they do if they needed light? A lantern, a candle, or if they were going to be walking around outside, walking, what would they use? A torch. And it says, who among you fears the Lord and obeys his voice, who walks in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord. Now look at verse number 11. This is the ominous ending. Behold, all you who kindle a fire and equip yourselves with burning torches. In other words, you're not trusting in the light that God provides. It's an enlightened age. We have our own light. We have our own understanding. Are you following me? And he says, walk by the light. Go ahead. God is actually being sarcastic in this verse. He says, walk by the light of your fire. Go ahead. Knock yourself out. You think you've got the light? Go ahead. Walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. It's an enlightened age, and you say, oh, we've got all this light, all this wisdom. He says, you go right ahead and you walk by that light. And this, look at the last, the ominous ending, if you will. This you will have from my hand. You walk by your own light and you're going to lie down in torment. When it comes time for you to pass from this life, you shall lie down in torment. And again, to be ominous here, and I'm happy. I mean, I'm happy to be back. Don't mean to be like this, but I read where one man said it this way. What did they use? Or before I ask that question, when you read in the Bible about hell, what is in hell as far as the torment part? Fire. What are these guys using to provide themselves light? Fire. One man said it like this. The fire that they have kindled to bring them light will itself become the source of their torment. You know what? I want to tell you something. I don't know how good of a job I've done on this today. I worked very hard on it. But I want every day, is my prayer, is God, light my path. Light my path. And I want to tell you something. I'm glad for medical science. God's given us wisdom to know how to fight a lot of cancers. God's given us understanding and how to do a lot of that stuff. And I'm thankful for all of it. But don't you ever trust the wisdom of this age over the Word of God. He said, you walk in the light of the torches that you have kindled, and this you will have at my hand. You will ultimately lie down in torment. Folks, I want to walk by the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. That in him was light. And that light lights everyone who comes into the world, John said. He is the light. And John chapter 1, he said, the light shines into the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it. I want to walk by the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Messiah, the faithful servant of Isaiah chapter 50. Let's pray. Let's seek the Lord today. God, we're so thankful for you. God, I want to bless your name. God, I give you thanks, Lord. Give you thanks and praise, glory and honor. Oh, Lord, you are so worthy, God. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's come down the front for a few moments. Back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the mirror. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. Oh God. You know, can I say one more thing? If you read Isaiah 50 and 52 and 53, 53 graphically portrays about how this faithful servant is crushed and suffers a horrible death. But let me show you the very nature of Jesus. In verse 8 of this chapter, I didn't take time to go in it. He said, "Who will declare me guilty?" And then he's talking about all those who would declare him guilty. In verse 9, he says, "All of them will wear out like a garment, and the moth will eat them up." And you say, "Brother Wiggins, what's he saying?" What that faithful servant is saying is, they're going to accuse me, but they're going to get old, and they're going to die, and their moth, the moth, everything, they're going to eat them up. Faithful servant the same. You can see a resurrection here, folks, if you will. And he's saying, yeah, sure. Isaiah 53 talks about him being crushed, talks about him dying. But in Isaiah 50, he plainly says, yeah, all of my accusers are going to wear out like a garment, and like a moth eats up a garment, they're going to pass away, and I shall remain. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's lift up our hands and worship Him. God, I thank you, Lord. God, I bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord.